Good morning, church. How are we feeling this morning? All right, about half of us are awake. Is the rest of us awake this morning? All right, awesome. Hey, can we just pray before we get into the word this morning? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and we just want to give you praise and glory, Lord. You're the reason why we're here. And right now, Lord, we ready ourselves, we ready our spirit to receive the word that you're wanting to deposit. Father, I pray right now, whatever is of me and myself, Lord, will that fall away? And whatever your truth is, Lord Jesus, whatever is your words, may they land in people's hearts right now. Lord, we're believing for transformation to occur. May you illuminate your word afresh to us this morning in your mighty precious name. And everyone said, amen, amen. High five someone as you take your seat. Well, we are continuing our Nehemiah series. Who's been enjoying it so far? Yes, yes. It has been an absolutely phenomenal series, and I've loved been unpacking it in our small groups as well. But in case you have missed any, you can go onto our YouTube channel. You can find us on Spotify. You can listen to all of the messages, and I encourage you to do so. We're just over the halfway mark of the series, but I'll just give you a quick summary of what we've covered so far this series. So the book of Nehemiah, if you don't know, it is in the Old Testament. It is just after the book of Ezra. And fun fact, originally Ezra and Nehemiah were one book, Ezra and Nehemiah. They come up with great names. And now it's just the book of Ezra and book of Nehemiah. There you go. If you didn't, they just add up together. That's so good. Come on. But week one, Pastor Matt started off about talking about how we need to see what God sees, how we need to get a vision for our life to be able to see what God wants us to do. Because that's what we see in Nehemiah. Nehemiah got a deposit from God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And what we see is that he really got a vision from God that determined his direction and what he did next. And then in week two, we found that prayer changes everything. And how sometimes that vision, we need to prepare ourselves in coming in the presence of God, preparing ourselves, seeking him, seeking his face, so that he can do a work inside us so that we can be ready for what he wants us to do and the next step that we're going to take. Because prayer is not so much about changing the circumstances around us as it is more about changing our perspective and what is in within us. And week three, Pastor Jill spoke about how we need to turn that vision that we get from God into then action. And how there actually needs to be a shift over, that we can't just talk about things and just say we're going to do things, but there needs to be a decision to actually turn and actually then put into action what we found God saying to us. Then week four, Pastor Matt spoke about sticks and stones, how there's opposition that we face in every circumstance in life, and how often when we're rebuilding things in our own life, when we're doing what God calls us to do, that opposition will come against us. But we're not called to stop building, we're called to keep on building, but then also fight against the opposition at the same time. And then Stu last week spoke a brilliant message about how we're called to make a difference, how we are physically made. He unpacked biology, y'all. It was insane. I didn't think he was going to go to biology and talk about how we were physically made to make a difference. But he spoke about the science, but then also how the word shows us that we are physically made to make a difference, and it's part of our purpose and part of our design as human beings. And so we find ourselves today in Nehemiah 8, where we're going to be unpacking what it means to be word central. And if you're a note taker, and I encourage you to be a note taker, otherwise you're probably going to forget. If you're anything like me, I know I'm young, but that doesn't mean I don't forget things. So I'm a note taker. So that is the title, word central. Are we ready to get into the word this morning? Awesome. So before we start reading, I just want to set up some context, because one of the key things about Bible interpretation when we read the Bible is that we need to make sure we understand the context that it's taking in. The Word of God is alive and active today, 100%. It is relevant today. It's not irrelevant, but it was also relevant for back then as well. And we need to understand the original context so we can actually get deeper meaning and apply it to our lives. Yes. So as I mentioned, Nehemiah takes place after Ezra. The book of Ezra covers how Ezra leads the first wave of people back to Jerusalem after some exile. And they rebuild firstly the temple of God. And then he revives the people. And we see a very similar parallel in the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah then leads another wave of Israelites back to Jerusalem, and they then build the walls. And then we are starting to see now in chapter 8, where he is now starting to revive the people. Very similar parallels. The important thing why I can't make sure that we understand the book of Ezra is because we see Ezra return in this chapter. And so when it talks about Ezra, it's talking about the person who helped rebuild the temple. He was a priest, he was a scribe. And so we're going to now unpack what chapter 8 talks about. Are we ready? Who's got their Bibles? If you don't, you'll be convicted by the end of the sermon to have your Bibles next week, because we're talking about Word Central. But you can go to Nehemiah 8, verses 1 to 12. Are we ready?
Yes.
Are we strapped in?
Yes.
Are our phones on airplane mode because we're about to take off, yeah?
Yes.
Come on, that's what we say at youth. At youth ministry, we get young people to turn their phones off, their notifications off. They may take notes on it, but that's no excuse to not be paying attention. All right, verse 1. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, this is Ezra that I just mentioned, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. That's a nice way of saying even children. We read it, that he read it aloud from daybreak until noon. Don't worry, I'm not going to be reading here this until noon. And he faced the square before the, the water gate in the presence of the men, the women, and others who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of law. If you're not listening attentively right now, this is just a little encouragement to say, turn on your listening ears and start listening attentively. Sound good? Awesome, we are listening attentively, that's great. Verse 4, Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right was all right, guys, we've got a whole bunch of names. We're on a journey, it's gonna be fun. All right, he's on the right stood Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. Guys, we got through the first one, come on. And on the left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hasham, Bashabana. Bashabadana. There we go. Say that three times. Zechariah and Mishalam. Come on, someone needs to name their kids those names. Let's go. We continue verse 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people stood. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. They bowed down and worshiped the Lord and their faces to the ground. And then we go on to verse 9. Then Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Verse 10, Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. The Levites calmed all the people saying, Be still, for this day is holy. Do not grieve. And finally, verse 12, then all the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been known to them. I know that was a lot of scripture, but hey, we're talking about how the word of God is important and how we need to be word central. And there's something that we need to understand first and foremost. There's a detail that I want to pick up on. In case you didn't know, this chapter refers to the law of Moses. That is referring to the first five books of the Bible because believe it or not, they didn't have the Bible in Bible days. I know, mind blowing. They didn't have the book of Nehemiah whilst they were living the book of Nehemiah. All right, so what they did have though, what God had deposited to Moses was the first five books of what our modern day Bible is, the Pentateuch, it's also known as. So that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If you didn't know that those are the first five books, now you do. Some Bible literature, let's go. And they were sharing the word of God. But what I want to pick up on is all the way in verse 1, which I think is a great setting stone for where we're going to take this message, where it says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. Someone say the water gate.
The water gate.
All right, that was five people. Someone say the water gate.
The water gate.
You may be wondering, what's the water gate? Well, hey, I'm about to unpack what this means. But it's important that we don't skip over these seemingly insignificant at time details. Because as Pastor Jill said a few weeks ago, these details unpack so much more meaning and actually deepen the meaning of Scripture.
Yes.
And what we see here is that the water gate in the city of Jerusalem was the gate where the Israelites went through in order to get water. I know, amazing names. I love how the Bible names things. It's so clear, so simple. But it is where they got water. It is the very thing that they needed to have life. It's the very thing that refreshed them. And I find it interesting that the book of the law of Moses, the word of God, was read out in front of the water gate. You may see that the word of God is the very thing that we need. We cannot live without it. It's almost like water to us.
Yeah.
It refreshes us. It brings life to us. And what I love is that the word of God, even in all the way in Ephesians 5, it talks about how we are washed through the cleansing, and that cleansing is done with water, and that water is by the word. The word of God is water for our soul. The word of God is water for our spirit. And church, we need to get a revelation that we cannot go one day without the word of God, because the word of God is what brings life to us. If you think about the opposite, if we're not hydrated, we're dehydrated. What does dehydration bring? Dehydration brings dizziness, confusion, low energy. We are physically weaker. We're faint. That actually increases our breathing and we're unable to get more oxygen into our blood. It makes us drowsy. There's so many effects of dehydration, but how many of us are living spiritually dehydrated in our own lives? Where we're not hydrating ourselves with the word of God. And so therefore, we wonder why our mind and our mental battle and our internal dialogue is such a mess, that we're riddled with anxiety, that we just feel like we can't do another thing, that we just wake up each day tired, that we're like, God, I don't know if I can do this today, that we are just at the end of ourselves. And maybe it's just because we're not actually opening up the word of God. We're not opening up the living water that is going to refresh us, that's going to bring us life, that's going to hydrate us, that's going to enable us to step into the calling that God has for us. We need the living word of God. We need to be word central people, church, because when we are dehydrated, we're ineffective, not only in our calling, in our purposes, but we're ineffective in how we think, in how we pray, in how we worship, in how we love, in how we care, in how we help other people. If you're wondering, hey, I'm really hitting a roadblock in my worship. Why are all these people like lifting their hands when they're worshiping? I don't understand it. Or, hey, why is someone just so passionate when they're praying? I don't understand. Like, I don't understand how they get to that. Can I maybe encourage you? Maybe open up the word of God and seek a revelation, because the word of God deepens all those other areas in our life. The word of God deepens our worship. The word of God deepens our prayer life. The word of God deepens our love for one another. The word of God deepens so many areas of our life. And so if you are finding yourself lacking in an area, if you find yourself struggling to take that next step in your faith journey, can I encourage you? Maybe the next step is just to open up the word of God and get a fresh revelation. We need fresh revelation, church. We need to be word central. And yes, I got all of that from verse 1, just because the word of God was read out by the water gate. All of that came from one verse. Church, we need to stop skipping over passages. Let's pause and ask God, why is that there in Scripture? What does that mean for me? What's the deeper meaning in that word? Let's be people that interrogate the Word of God. Let's get passionate. Let's dig deeper. Let's actually seek out revelation. Let's, as this passage just said, listen attentively to the Word of God. Let's seek understanding. We need to consume the Word of God. It is water to our soul, water to our spirit. And as I said, we need to open it up daily. That's why it's important that we're word central. Because without the Word of God, life, it becomes a whole lot harder. And what we're going to unpack now for the rest of this time is that we're going to unpack what we see the Israelites, what the word does to the Israelites in this passage. And the first thing that I see in verses 1 and 2 is that the word of God brings unity. The word of God brings unity. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made of men, women, and all who were able to understand. We see right here that the word of God brought people together, that there was a unity, that there was a community of people that were gathered together to listen to the word of God. We live in a society where it's too divisive. If you don't agree with one thing, then you have to not agree, you have to be on the opposite side and you can't be friends. Maybe there's different political beliefs. Well, hey, you can't be friends. You can't find common ground, that, so you have to just be separate. Maybe you just have different personal preferences. We even separate people based on their diet. Yes. Let's be real. Guys, we need to love on those that don't eat like us in terms of whether they're vegan, vegetarian, paleo, keto, whatever other kind of diet, even meat eaters or carnivores, omnivores, herbivores, everyone. We literally divide society based on what people eat as well. Society is divisive in terms of they divide people and people groups because they're like, no, you just need you need to agree on every single thing with one group of people and then that's your community. But what we see here in the Word of God, and what I love even right here this morning, what I know is that there are people here from different walks of life, different nations, different cultures, different races, different backgrounds, different political views, different careers. There is so much diversity and within this church, and that is because the Word of God unifies us. The thing that stands above all those other things is the thing that unifies us, and we see in the Word of God that it brings people together, men, women, children, every generation. Yes. The Word of God unifies us. And I absolutely love that. The church needs to be a model and example of what it means to live life in unity. Because I find it interesting that community has the word unity in it. Yeah. There's a common unity. Community, common unity. That common unity is Jesus. We need to be unified. If you're seeking community, if you're seeking deeper connection, if you're wanting a place where you can connect with people, church, we need to seek Jesus and the Word of God because it will unify us and we can find community with one another. Not only does the Word of God bring unity, but then we also see that it brings conviction. When Ezra was reading the Word of God, that God gave Moses, it led to conviction of the Israelites. In verse 9 it says, then Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, the Levites who were instructing all the people said to them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for the people had been weeping as they had listened to the words of the law. Commentators and Bible scholars say that this weeping represents the Israelites' conviction and repentance. That they were so moved by the Word of God that they realized that they weren't living the best way. When we say conviction, conviction is not condemnation. God doesn't condemn us. God doesn't stand on a high mountain, point the finger and go, naughty, naughty. God doesn't do that. He brings conviction. What is conviction? Conviction is God saying, hey, there's a better way. Because he gives us free will. We can choose how we live our lives. We can. That's the bottom line. That's a biblical truth. We can choose. But Jesus says in the New Testament, you can choose life or death. So choose life. Yeah. We can choose one or the other. But God says, choose the better way. Yeah. And there's a guide, there's a roadmap that's in the Word of God that helps us find what that better way is. Yes. And so conviction is not about making us shameful. Conviction is about realizing there's a better way. Yeah. That I am sinful, yes. Have I made mistakes? Yes. But God comes and says, but I've got something to redeem you. There's a better way that leads to greater intimacy with our Creator. But the key is that we can't just let conviction stay at conviction. Yeah. It needs to lead to action. It needs to lead to action. Conviction leads to repentance. Revelation leads to obedience. They go hand in hand. Because this is what we see then in Nehemiah 8, verses 16 to 17. We didn't read these just before, but it's just after the portion of scripture that we read at the beginning. And it says, so the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roof in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate. Hey, there's the water gate again. We know what that represents. And the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was great. You may be saying, Nathan, what are they doing? They were just doing a whole bunch of stuff and building things. They were putting into practice what they had just heard. The law of Moses that they were referring to was one of the festivals, was the Jewish festival of the Feast of the Trumpets, and then the Festival of the Tabernacles. And I don't have time to unpack what that means, but you can go read about it in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. But what it talks about is that what we see here in Nehemiah is that they put into practice what they heard. They put into practice, they turned into action the conviction that they had. They didn't stay weeping. Part of the reason why Nehemiah and Ezra said, do not weep, was because, yes, the weeping was healthy for a little bit in terms of they realized the conviction that they got. But we are not called to stay in that place of just conviction and just weeping, but we are called then to then act on that conviction to lead to action, lead to obedience, and apply it to our lives. And that's the same with the Word of God. If we don't apply the Word of God, we're just going to become intellectual Christians. Yeah. Yeah. The Word of God is not just an intellectual book. The Word of God is not just meant to be a book that we read and go, oh, that's a nice story. The book of God, the Word of God is a book that transforms us. But it only transforms us if we put it into action. If we put it into action. And when we do so, there is great joy. In that verse, it said that it finished with, and there was there was great joy because they had put into action what they had heard. Can I encourage someone this morning? If you're needing joy this morning, and even in verse 10, it talks about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you need strength and joy, maybe we need to actually apply the Word of God in our lives. Good. I'm not saying it's the only thing you need to do, but I'm saying it could be a big part of getting yourself to that place. If you want to live a life that's filled with joy, let's make sure we're putting into action what we are reading about. I love what it says in James 2:17. Because what it talks about is how there is, if we don't have action with our faith, then what's the point of our faith? In the Amplified Version, it says, so too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Are we settling church for a lesser faith by not applying the Word of God? Are we settling church for a lower level of living, a lower amount of joy, a lower amount of peace than what is actually available to us because we read the word, but yet we don't really believe the word, that when we read the word, that we don't necessarily apply the word, that we read God's commands, yet we don't necessarily obey his commands? Church, when we put into action the word of God, what we read here, it leads to transformation. Transformation. And I hope you get my heart here, church. We need to become word-central people. Yes. What we see here in the account in Nehemiah 8 is that this is the start. The start of the revival of the people came by understanding and getting a revival of the word. Yes. If we're wanting revival, if we're wanting to see our own lives changed, if we're wanting to see our city changed, if we're wanting to see our workplaces changed, if we're wanting to see our nation changed, church, can I encourage you, maybe we need to get a fresh revelation, a fresh understanding, and a fresh passion for the word of God first and foremost. As I said, the word of God deepens all the other areas within our faith. It is not the only thing that is helpful, but what I do say, it's a very strong foundation that everything else builds upon. The word of God. And what I love most is that Jesus is also known as the living word. Yeah. Jesus is the living word of God. He's the fulfillment of the word. And so if you're saying, I want to know Jesus better, yes, spend time with him 100%. Yes, pray. Yes, worship. But if he is the living word, if he is the embodiment and the fulfillment of the word, maybe, church, we need to open up our Bibles and get to know Jesus a bit better. Maybe we need to open up our Bibles and actually get to know our God a little bit better. If you're struggling to hear the voice of God, maybe it's time to open up the Bible because this is the voice of God, the Logos, the written word of God. Yes, we also listen to the Rhema, which is the spoken word of God, but it's Rhema and Logos. Logos, the word of God. Can you stand with me, church, this morning? What I'm really seeking this morning, church, and hopefully has happened, is I wanted to impart a passion to you. Because I can't make you read the Bible. I can't make you do anything. As we said before, God's given us free will. But what I do hope is that you get an understanding and a passion for the Word of God. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know what challenges you're facing right now. But what I do know is that no matter in what season you find yourself, no matter what life throws your way, there's something that stands the test of time, and that's the Word of God. And we need to make sure we start becoming word-central people, a word-central church. Yes, we believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we believe in the realm of the spoken Word of God, moving in the Spirit 100%. We believe that as a church as well, but the foundation needs to be on the Word of God. Can I pray for us this morning, church? Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we pray. Will you come and give us a fresh revelation of your Word? The book of life. The book that brings refreshment. The book that stands the test of time. Will you come and bring a fresh understanding? Will you come and even right now, Lord, bring a fresh hunger and thirst for your word? Lord, may we be a people that are word central. May this be a church that is word central, God, where we are unified, where we get revelation and conviction, but then, Lord, where we are transformed as well by your word. Holy Spirit, right now, just ask, will you come and move in our hearts? Will you move and make us hungry? Will you move and make us desire to get to know you more and get to know your word? Amen.